You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
This is Christine Shepherd back with the second half of my conversation with Ari Gruver, Erica Jackson, and Ricardo Zayas. Here's the second half of our roundtable discussion about community versus the individual. Enjoy.
Tell us of a time or experience when you realized you had lost your individuality within a community.
It's too many, bruh. I gotta ponder on that one. Ooh, I gotta think.
I hope I have it. Okay, my philosophy on life is that you die when you stop learning. And so as I evolve, or hopefully would like to think I'm evolving, I think my path becomes clear to me. I've never been laser vision, like, this is what I want to do. I kind of let things open itself to me and, like, have fun in figuring that out in that kind of floater mentality.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So I don't know if I've ever lost myself, but I've definitely never found myself either.
That's real. That's true.
So take that for what that's worth. I don't know who I am yet. It's still changing. Real. There's a lot of amendments to that contract. So I don't know.
That's real. And I think that your philosophy of going with the flow, like, I resonate with now, but definitely not as a child or even, I would say, as a teen. Once getting to New York and, you know, being surrounded by more like-minded people and the level of exposure that a place like New York gives you, it's funny. I feel like the hecticness of New York lets you comfortably let go of the wheel, almost in a sense. Like you're just like, it'll work out. I don't know. The B-103, I don't know. Like, you just... So I would say as a kid, I definitely struggled heavily with that morphing and trying to fit into my own shoes, but also trying to make sure that my shoes fit in with everybody else's shoes, you know, and even if it didn't fit in, because I wouldn't say I was the type of kid that was really, really passionate about looking like everybody else and being like everybody else. I always wanted to make sure what my stuff was doing complemented what everybody was doing. It's like, I knew that it wasn't going to be the same, and I was really cool with that, but I didn't want it to not fit in. Yeah. So I felt like I have that constant, okay, like, I'm Christine, this is me, but where, what do I do? What exactly do I wear and say and think and laugh at? And what songs do I listen to so I can at least understand the conversation so that, like, you know, I don't have to like the song, but I need to understand so that I understand the context and what's hanging out.
Right.
You know, like, just things like that. When I became an adult, I realized I was wasted energy. But as a kid, it's so vital and it feels so important because your world is so small.
That, right. It's that waste of energy. I guess that's a better way of putting it, because I always said it was kind of like my coping mechanism. I guess I never held anything in such an esteem that it was the end all be all. So if I heard no, it never felt good, but it wasn't earth shattering.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean I gave up. It's just like, okay, things are slightly different. For example, the classical ballet world, there are people that are like, nope, I have to be a principal in the Paris Opera Ballet. And the only way I can do that is through the Paris Opera School. Everything is meticulously detailed. And if you miss one step, it's like not going to happen. Whereas just like, okay, Have we tried any other country's ballet company? Have we tried another art? Right. Have we tried...
Almost trapping yourself in something, yeah.
I don't know if that was a coping mechanism or if I was just smart enough to know there's so much else out there that's possible. I guess I've never lost myself in trying to become somebody.
Good.
Specifically, again, people have this like precision idea of like, I want to be that person. I've never known who I wanted to be.
Mm, right.
I've just kind of figured it out. So when I was told, which has happened a lot, you know, I'm very lucky in my career, but I've been told no. Like everyone has had an audition not go in their favor. It's just right. Like, comes in territory, but it's never been like, oh, this, like, is this it? No. Okay, fine. Next. Moving on. Have your moment. Hurts a little more when you put in the work and the effort, but that work and effort is not in vain. That work and effort goes towards something else. Maybe not obviously or specifically the way you saw it happening, but that was preparation for the rest of your life in some sense of the word.
I agree with all that. I totally, because I feel that was me before even I came to New York, where I wanted to be this big commercial background dancer for all these artists and all of this stuff. And for some reason, I was never Black enough. I was never this enough. I was never... And especially coming from Atlanta, the way they like women and be thick and all of these things. And my personality was not necessarily of that. It could be that, but I was more of an underground person.
Yeah.
Being eclectic. It's like people want you to be eclectic, but they don't want you to be eclectic. And it took me understanding that I did too many things to just do that one thing. I think like what people do when they are dancing, I think it's wonderful and glorious. And I will always have a love and a heart for that. But it took me like coming out of Georgia into the unknown of New York to know that that was not my end all be all, because that was just that one thing. We could do so many other things. And I never thought musical theater would have been that thing. I'm gonna be honest with you. I was like,
right.
But even starting in musical theater, they were trying to place me and market me as Heather Headley, something like that. And I can't, that's her own person. I can't be that just because she's successful. And it was that for the longest, to the point where I was just not booking stuff because either I didn't stand out enough. And I don't think it was that. I think it's just they didn't know where to place me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, they don't know where to place me, because people, unfortunately, the business, entertainment business, are so shallow that they need something to be presented in front of them so that they can have an idea. Not all of it, but I feel like, you know, you have to.
They don't have to think.
They don't have to think. Exactly.
They can puzzle piece you.
Exactly.
It's so crazy that the heads in art are the least of the creative minded.
Exactly. But it took knowing somebody's laziness to understand my trajectory of what I needed. So I was like, you can't make this.
Bingo. I'm gonna make it.
And then I'm gonna make it in a way that y'all never thought of before, where y'all could be like, oh, that was dope. This is how culture gets started. This is how pop culture, this is how we do things. We've been told no, or we don't fit in, we don't do this, we don't do that. We're not individual enough in some sense to fit in, but yet not, it's this catch 22. To the point that we end up creating our discos, our hip hops, our house music, our this, dance, our vogue, our ballroom scene. Ricky said, well, you may have been told no, but that doesn't, it's not going in vain.
So like thinking about losing your individuality, I definitely thought back to my childhood of being Black growing up in the suburbs. And I really struggled with it. And I tried so hard to wear the right clothes, like Abercrombie and Fitch, know all the rock music that I could.
Oh, the good old code switch.
Right. The old, good old code switch. But at the same time, on the weekends, I would go home to my grandma's house in Detroit on Bloom Street, like we in the hood. And sometimes I get so in touch with my Blackness. And then on Monday, you got to go back to school in the suburbs. I didn't know how to protect my individuality and my Blackness, because I didn't have the language or the knowledge to support myself. I remember this one Sunday, my grandmother was like, your fro is so beautiful. You gotta go to school like this. She had combed it out. It was huge. Aww. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to school the next day and everyone's gonna love it. And I remember this girl just coming up to me and saying, what's wrong with your hair? I grew up in a space where they don't accommodate me, where, again, they are lazy and they categorize you as like, okay, she speaks well, she does this well, so you're going to be in this group. And they start making you, like, exclude yourself from other Black people, even. And I think it wasn't until, like, I started seeing how it's really pointless to try to put myself in these boxes, like trying to be the sports person and trying to be all these other things, when I really am a singer. And I'm really am Black. And I really got stuff to say, and it's valid. And also, just because I'm not from the hood, or I'm just because I'm from the suburbs, doesn't make me less Black or anything. So I and it's a constant battle, you know, now, but I definitely have more of the language and this everything, because I have seen other Black people pave the pathway for me and go through the same experience of someone excluding you and saying you're not enough, or saying no, and you just breaking through that and saying, no, this is my individuality, this is what's unique about me, this is my voice. It's hard to hear that no, but that no definitely said, hey, this is who you are, stop trying to deny it, because you cannot literally fit in those boxes. You can't do it. Don't try.
Bravo. Bravo.
Bravo.
Bravo!
Stop trying to put yourself in a box.
All right, y'all. I want to close it out with a little role play. So I've drawn up some scenarios that I think any actor of color could find themselves in. Oh, and I made it so that it's a little bit more challenging. I'll read it, and you have 2 minutes to give your answer and your why. So who wants to go first? Are there any takers?
Erica.
Damn! Oh. I had put my no. I said no.
Look, before. I was
no
just about to be like,
no
not
video.
Not it.
Please say not it.
See
not
how
it.
Y'all do me.
Not
I
it.
What's the question?
I am weak. All right, girl. Let's do this one for you. All right. The company that produces your show asks the cast to come and perform at a fundraiser for a quote-unquote friend who is running for public office. You and several other cast members have a strong opposing views from the politician. There is no pay connected to the performance, and footage will be taken and used only for their campaign. Do you participate in the performance to be part of the cast, or try to organize an opposition and do not attend the fundraiser? Go.
Well, if I am in strong opposition to this political person, then I will not stand by that. I would not attend. I probably would give a formal letter to my employment just saying, hey, I'm not going to do this because of XYZ. They contradict or go against certain beliefs of mine that would interfere with my life, you know, or interfere with the way that I live, or interfere with the way other people live. You know, I think we're at a time now where it is not acceptable to just grin and bear it just because the person has political power. It's about what are they doing for the community. I feel like that we have to really find where our morals are and where they stand, and really stand in that truth and battle for it and protect it and stick up for others. Because say that person does not affect me, that person is saying I'm going to take the rights away from my friend, I'm not going to attend. And I think we have to stand in that. We are blessed to be in a country to say, I have freedom of speech, and this is what I'm going to do with it. And I don't think it's right to ever sell yourself because of power or because of fame or whatever. Is that 2 minutes?
And that's 118. She said, and that's that, period.
I'm like, you had me at no pay.
That's true. No pay.
I was done there. Yeah, man. No pay.
I have to leave.
All right. Who next?
All right.
Who? Ari?
Come on.
All right.
You gonna give me this crazy one? I feel it.
I'm gonna give you this one. You ready?
Uh huh.
All right. You're the only person of color in your 10-person ensemble.
Sounds about right.
There are no issues with people getting along and showing respect. Next month is your culture's Heritage Awareness Month, and people begin asking you more questions about yourself, observing your habits more, and inquiring from your opinion as a Black American. Do you Go about the next month as normal and ignore the period of cultural interrogation from coworkers, or organize a day in the month to share, educate, and celebrate your heritage with the cast and crew. Mm. And go ahead.
I don't know. I feel like I'm torn in between the two. Because sometimes people genuinely who don't necessarily get the information to know, if it's in my heart of hearts and I feel good that day and I don't mind giving you information, cool. But what you're not going to do is wait until it's Black History Month, wait until it's Hispanic Heritage Month, Asian American Month, to now be interested in what I have to say.
Right.
My Black is 365 for one. It's like the equivalent of all of these companies that are now coming out now that they are seeing all of us being killed on TV because they ain't got shit else to do. How can we help you? I want to understand your culture. I want to be able to connect more. I would have to tell people, hey, I appreciate the concern, even though it's a little late. I appreciate it. Here's the thing. There's a thing out there called Google on the World Wide Web, right? Where if, let's say, I'm not feeling up to educating you because it's not my job to do such things, you can go look it up. You can go find certain information about this set culture, things of what to do and what not to do. How about just in general, just get to know me as a person. Understand and see that yes, there is systemic racism and biases against people of color and people who are like me, Black. That doesn't mean that you all of a sudden, because it's the good thing to do, like we were talking earlier, to go and be like, hey, question. So I was reading this book about Martin Luther King, and I just have so much questions about the plight of your people. And it's like, well, you can read that book and figure out more information and assess for yourself in a human way first how people should be treated.
Time.
There we go. Period. Because you know I was about to go in. Final answer, Google is your friend.
Right, final answer.
Today.
Google. I'm dead. All right, last one. You ready, Ricky?
Lay it on me.
Okay. Tensions are high between the principals and the ensemble of your show. A principal was granted a week's vacation after just returning from a long weekend, while an ensemble member was denied their request for 2 days to be in their sister's wedding and will not be granted extra sick days for their emergency root canal. The two groups have cut most of their communication with each other. Do you pick a side and let the divide grow stronger and each group become closer? Or become the middleman between the two groups, listen and learn for both and decide if anything can be done? And kick it.
Who are the two groups, like the principals and the ensemble?
Yes.
I think this instance would be a great time to double down, where I would say, okay, I'm like, no, this is a special occasion. This is literally my sister's wedding. I've missed tons of family outings over the years, but you know, there are some things where I'm like, no, I'm not willing to miss this. This is a special occasion for me. It means something. And if I'm, okay, well, I'm not going to be here that day. I'm not afraid. Like, I'm not afraid to do that. I'm not coming in. Well, okay. Not to mention it's disrespectful for the ensemble if someone just has like extra vacation that they're just taking just cause. I'm not talking about being a brat. I'm just like, in all fairness, this principal may make more money, may have a bigger role in this than I do, but in the grand scheme of life, we are equal human beings and I deserve, if not the same treatment, at least the amount of respect that I deserve myself, which has taken me maybe a little bit of a minute to get to that place. But if I honestly feel like I deserve something, I don't have a problem asking for it. And if I don't get it, I don't have a problem taking it or leaving or what have you. I don't think it's the place of one person. I think that's a great opportunity, for example, a union representative to step in. And I mean, these are exactly the reason why rules are set in place, is for when things come up like this. Again, it's not like I'm taking just random sick days. Like, no, I gave you plenty of time. I've had a job where I've literally said, hey, I need to miss for this. And they were like, oh, sorry, it's day one. We don't even have a system implemented for days off yet. And I was like, okay, well, put that in whenever you implement the system.
Okay, time. And I'm weak as hell.
Preach.
Right? Said, oh. Like, it's going to apply 0.1 seconds after whatever system is implemented. Great. Whatever you're talking about, when you figure it out. I'm first in line. Great. Don't want to hear no later.
I'm so weak.
Because I won't be there.
And that's that.
And that's that.
Period. Period.
Awesome, guys. Thanks again. This has been great.
Thank you.
They ain't ready. This conversation hot. They ain't ready. Yeah. Hey.
You tell the truth.
Special thanks to Ari Groover, Erica Jackson, and Ricardo Zayas for sharing their stories with us. The Ensemblist was produced today by Mo Brady, Jackson Klein, and me, Christine Shepherd. There are two great ways you can be helping the Ensemblist right now. One is by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. The second is by becoming a Patreon member at patreon.com/theEnsemblist. Please follow The Ensemblist wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that be on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or at our home on Broadway Podcast Network at bpn.fm. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.